He's involved in a number of businesses.
He's a great role model.
Telling it like it is, giving you both sides of the story. This is Katz at Night.
Great American, a great New Yorker.
Now, here's John Katzimatidis.
Here we are at a 5 o'clock show with Katz at Night. And we have a great show for you again tonight. Tonight, I'm going to be leaving early. I have to go light the menorah with Sid Rosenberg. But today, it's 5 o'clock. It's dark already. We have 50,000 watts clear channel. What does that mean? In 36 states, we are being listened to, as well as Northern Canada and Northern Europe. And we have a great show for you today in the studio. Lydia Serrano, how are you, Lydia?
I'm doing well, sir.
Judge Richard Weinberg.
Happy to be here again. Thank you.
And Lydia, who's our first guest?
Well, she is an incredible columnist, a writer, investigative reporter, and she's got a great book out that you have to read, The Laptop from Hell. She was the one who broke the story that the world tried to suppress, Miranda Devine. Welcome, Miss Devine.
Thanks so much, Lydia, and good to talk to you and also, of course, to John and Judge Richard.
And tell us, your book is headed to be number one. It's
made number one first day.
Wow. Wow. And everybody wants to read it. Give us a little, it's about Joe Biden, his son, and the laptop from hell. Tell us, what should people look for? What the heck is going on in our country? And do we border on serious problems that somebody should be looking into?
I think what's really important about this is it's Hunter Biden's laptop, but it's really the story of Joe Biden. It covers 9 years, including most of the time that he was vice president to Barack Obama. And it covers the influence peddling scheme that he's run with his brother, two brothers, and his son, you know, from the very beginning. I mean, really, it started at his earliest days as the senator for Delaware. And he then internationalized it when he became vice president and had carriage for places in the world that are of strategic importance to America, such as China and Russia and Ukraine and Romania and so on. We know that Joe Biden lied to the American people during the election campaign when he said that he knew nothing about Hunter Biden's overseas business dealings because he was intimately involved in them. I mean, he met Hunter Biden's business partners from overseas multiple times. He met Mexicans and Ukrainians and Russians and Chinese and Kazakhstanis. And he met them in Beijing. He met them in Washington, D.C. He invited them to his residence, the vice presidential residence at the Naval Observatory. He met them at Cafe Milano, which is an Italian restaurant in Georgetown. And Biden had organized a dinner in a private room there in 2015 with his Ukrainian and Russian and Kazakhstani partners. And Joe Biden went there and you know, his campaign denied that he'd ever met these business partners during the campaign. And then, you know, in July, when I wrote a story in the New York Post about this dinner at Cafe Milano, lo and behold, the White House admitted not to us, who ignores the New York Post, but to Washington Post, which was trying to do a fact check, that yes, Joe Biden was at this dinner, but he didn't go for any nefarious purposes, and he was only there briefly. He was only a little bit pregnant, in other words. So I think that what we see is really a pattern of confabulation, fabrications, tall tales, call it what you will, throughout Joe Biden's life. But now he is president. We also see that that's collided with this very lucrative influence peddling scheme that he and his family have run around the world. And now it threatens to, you know, jeopardize and compromise America's national security with particularly China, which is, you know, a great strategic threat to us and to America's allies as well.
What I've said on our previous shows, and I've said that in the last 9 months since President Biden has been president, the price of oil has doubled. We're making Russia rich. We're making OPEC richer. We're making China rich because they're going to provide all the batteries for the electric cars in the United States, or 90% of them. And when they needed lithium to make the batteries, we We gave him Afghanistan. Now, America is getting poorer, and we're enriching Russia, China, OPEC. Does that smell? I mean, I asked the American people to put two and two together. What say you?
Well, yes, and look, unfortunately, this has been the pattern of Joe Biden's life from his very early career as a senator. He was duchessed by the Chinese. He was invited very early on in a delegation to China to be wined and dined, and came back and in fact was sort of embarrassingly cloying about China and saying what a wonderful place it was for America and that, you know, it's not a threat. And he was actually criticized at that time for sort of embarrassing America by being so sycophantic. And in 2001, when China wanted to join the World Trade Organization, not 2001, earlier than that, but it was actually during the Clinton administration, and Joe Biden was instrumental as a very influential senator, and he managed to sort of get a lot of his wavering colleagues to agree to allow China into the WTO. And, of course, that was the beginning of the decline for America, because American jobs and manufacturing from the heartland just disappeared. And so, I mean, Joe Biden has really been at the forefront of that diminishing and impoverishing of America.
Miranda, half the world has seen the Joe Biden video when he went to the Ukraine and threatened the Ukraine and said, if your investigator doesn't stop investigating my son, well, I'm not going to give you the $1 billion that the United States wants to give you. I'm going to withhold the check. Now.
Yes, honey. He didn't say it like that.
How do you say it? Tell me how he said it.
So he pretended that Viktor Shokin, who was the chief prosecutor in Ukraine, was actually corrupt himself and that he had to be fired because he was not investigating corruption in Ukraine. And in fact, the opposite was the case. Viktor Shokin at the time, and I mean, that's evident from not just documents, but also from contemporaneous media reports in Ukraine and elsewhere in Europe, that Viktor Shokin was conducting a corruption investigation into Burisma, the Ukrainian energy company that was paying Hunter Biden $83,000 plus a month. And in fact, just a few weeks before Joe Biden called for him to be fired, Viktor Shokin had organized for the owner of Burisma's property to be seized in Kiev, you know, mansions and plots of land, even a Rolls-Royce Phantom car. And so this was an active investigation. And also, Viktor Shokin has said since in Ukrainian interviews that he his next port of call was he was going to issue subpoenas for Hunter Biden and for his business partner, Devin Archer. And Joe Biden went to Ukraine and very forcefully threatened the government there that he would withhold $1 billion of U.S. aid, which they desperately needed. This is a very impoverished country which had just come through the Maidan Revolution and a kleptocratic regime previously that was Russia-aligned. And they needed the money. And so Viktor Shokin was fired, and then the heat went off Burisma, and Burisma managed to get away with, I think, a $5 million fine or something. And all the trouble went away for the Bidens. And so,
Miranda,
this was, yeah.
Gut feeling. Is President Biden doing things like that to maybe the leadership or the political types at the Justice Department or at FBI? I mean, what say you about that? Because there should be an investigation to see what influence there is by foreign governments on Hunter Biden, shouldn't there be?
Yes, I mean, I totally agree with you. And look, we do know that the laptop, which Hunter Biden abandoned at the MacBook repair shop in Delaware, John Paul MacIsaac, the owner of that shop, sort of like 8 months later, handed it over to the FBI. because he thought there might be something on there that would be relevant to the upcoming impeachment of Donald Trump, because it was a lot about Burisma that he'd seen on there. And the FBI, I mean, that was December 2019. So, you know, they've had a considerable amount of time to do something with it. Whether or not they have, whether or not it's fed into these ongoing investigations that are going on about Hunter Biden and his uncle Jim Biden, Joe Biden's younger brother, we don't know. And we know the wheels of justice turn slowly, so maybe we can have some faith that something will come out of it. I think any law enforcement agency that does take a look at the laptop will find a lot of interesting information. And when coupled together, that puzzle, also with the information that Tony Bobulinski provided us from his emails and documents, he was a former partner of Hunter Biden, and also another partner of Hunter Biden who's in jail. A lot of Hunter's business associates did end up in jail, and Bevan Cooney gave a lot of his information to emails and documents to Peter Schweitzer and Matthew Time and two other journalists who kindly shared some of that with me. And then also, very importantly, you had Chuck Grassley and Ron Johnson, the Republican senators, conducted a really thorough investigation of Hunter Biden, Burisma and corruption. And they had access to financial records from the Treasury Department. These are so-called suspicious activity reports, which banks provide to the Treasury Department if money is coming into the country, a lot of money from sort of suspect sources, perhaps from people who are sanctioned in Russia.
To remind our listeners, our worldwide listeners, we are speaking with the author of Laptop from Hell, the number one. It's already number one, correct?
Number one on Amazon. Yeah,
it's already
flipped to number two now.
Yep. Wow. And we're speaking with Miranda Devine. All of these steps that President Biden has been taking, some people are saying that he is maybe not mentally competent at this
I'm
point.
I'm not sure about mentally competent. But who in our government, if you put politics aside, who should be investigating this? Judge Weinberg?
Miranda, I was very impressed by the articles I read this week in the New York Post that you wrote. You made two important points. One, that Joe Biden himself was expecting a 10% cut in a China deal. And very significantly, how the media has suppressed the story from the very beginning about the Biden influence peddling games that have been played by the family and perhaps by then Vice President Biden.
But who should be investigating this?
This is clearly something that the FBI and the Justice Department should be
investigating. But if the Justice Department tells the FBI don't do it, is there anybody at the FBI that can do it?
I think Miranda had made a point earlier in another interview. She pointed out that this is a story that the White House is going to ignore unless there's pressure put on by the mainstream media, that is, you know, CNN, the Washington Post, the New York Times. As long as the story keeps coming out in the Post and on Fox, the White House is going to ignore it.
How about WABC?
WABC, right now. We've been talking about this, but the point is this has to get some sort of public recognition. That's the only thing that's going to move the Justice Department and the FBI. What say you, Miranda?
You're spot on. It's not, you know, I mean, public recognition. I mean, the country is split between, I guess, conservative media and Democrat-leaning media. And the Democrat-leaning media are the only ones that the Biden administration cares about. So as long as the New York Times and the Washington Post and CNN, MSNBC continue to ignore the story, they will ignore the story. They will hope it goes away. And they will also bank on the fact that, you know, the audience, half the country, is not going to be aware of this. And, you know, we know that that's important because there were opinion polls after the last election which showed that Biden voters, almost half of them, were unaware of the scandal of the laptop and were unaware that Hunter Biden and his uncle Jim Biden were under investigation, which, of course, nobody knew until after the election because they kept that secret. And furthermore, if those Biden voters had known, then something like one in 10 of them in battleground states would have changed their vote. Now, considering there were only 45,000 votes that sealed the election in those crucial battleground states, that could have made the difference between winning or losing the election. So it was really crucial for the Biden campaign that this story be censored, as it was, by Facebook and Twitter immediately that it went online. And Twitter, in fact, locked the account of the New York Post, which is the oldest newspaper in the country, the fourth largest audience in the country. It locked the Twitter account, so we couldn't...
It's something that that Moscow would do, isn't it?
It is actually frightening. I think this story really revealed for everybody, and I guess they had to come out of the shadows, big tech, their power. It revealed their power because it was 3 weeks before the election, and it was a desperation time. They just could not afford for Donald Trump to win again, so they crushed this story. I think that was a signal to a lot of people, even independents, even people that didn't like Donald Trump, that this was pretty scary, the power of big tech. And then, of course, they basically deplatformed the sitting president of the United States. So the and Emmanuel Macron in France, who's no right winger, he thought that was appalling as well. I mean, people around the world seem to be even more shocked about the power of these unaccountable oligopolies have over they're more powerful than the president,
and what about
more powerful than the media?
Miranda Devine, thank you so much for coming on and telling the truth to the American people. Now, tell all the people about your book. It's called
Laptop from Hell.
It's called Laptop from Hell, and it's available all good bookstores, Barnes & Noble and
Amazon.
A Million. Of course, Amazon, yep. And it's just going gangbusters. In fact, we actually ran out of hard covers yesterday, but there's they did an emergency printing of paperbacks, which are now available, and also they've got some new in 9 days now, I'm told, there'll be a new batch of hard covers coming online, and the audiobooks going gangbusters.
Miranda Devine.
And also the Kindle.
Miranda Devine, thank you again for speaking out, and I pray that that President Biden is innocent. Otherwise, if not, it borders on words that start with a T
and rhyme with reason.
And I do not want to use those words.
Mm.
And Judge Weinberg, I understand you have another comment.
Yes, what I find particularly troubling is that during the campaign, when the information about Hunter Biden's laptop came to the surface, the Biden team trotted out 50 so-called intelligence experts, Clapper, Brennan, and a whole list of other notables, who said that they thought this was Russian disinformation, that this whole story about a Hunter Biden laptop was not true. It was out of the Russian playbook.
And at the end of the day, it was all BS.
At the end of the day, it was a laptop, and it is Hunter Biden's laptop, and they had a lot of intimate information that clearly showed that it was Hunter Biden's laptop. Correct.
But thank you so much for doing all the research, and God bless you.
Thank you, John, and lovely to talk to you all.